You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Colson. This is Minute 84. This minute begins with Shaw's abdomen distending and ends with a healthy newborn baby. And I'm joined once again by Luke Milton. Hello.
Hello, 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 hello. You're giving birth to a brand new episode. This is your own tentacled baby coming forth from your mind and worming its way into your faithful listeners' ears.
Yes, every week I'm giving birth. I never thought of that.
To a bloody tentacled monstrosity.
I don't want to think about it. So it was actually Numi's suggestion to do the belly sticking out thing, and Ridley's like, oh, that's disgusting. Yeah, do it.
Disgusting? I think considering that this first second of this minute begins with us looking down at a large belly, I find that very relatable. I'm like, I've seen this before.
It's a first-person perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so they built a fake torso for this scene, and you can sometimes see... Well, some people claim they can see where that is, but I can't. I've watched this many times, and I cannot tell, so I think they're lying.
Yeah, liars, all of them.
Because no one looks at this movie as closely as I do. But, you know, she does a great job with actually just with her own torso, just contorting it in ways that looks like there's something in
it. And actually getting cut open by a robot, which not many actors are willing to do that.
Yeah, I was surprised. With all that money they offer Robert Downey Jr. for the Avengers, like when they were taking the arc reactor out, he didn't elect to do that for real. Coward.
Wouldn't let them put the hole in his chest.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
So we see the forceps appearing from the roof, and as we were watching the minute again, I just went, it just looks like a claw machine, and it's just going to pull out a stuffed toy, but worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I love skill testers, which is the other reason that I find this scene particularly fascinating, because I'm always on the claw machines at Innaloo Cinema, at the time zone there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, each session I'll probably pull out two things. I've got a bit of a stack of things at the moment.
That's impressive, actually. I'm never lucky with those. I'd love to edit this scene, and then it pulls out the little green Martian from Toy Story.
Yes.
Horrifying.
Yeah. Well, it's not far off. I mean, you don't know what to expect. You're a little bit ahead of me. I hadn't got to the claw yet. It's spraying the stuff on her... I presume is anesthetic, but, she's really in pain here.
Yeah, it's that yellow stuff, but I guess it's not really numbing it. Well, it's topical, so it's the top layer of skin's okay, but the further down you go into the muscle, you're feeling that.
Yeah, but I mean, surely this is a future tech, space age surgery machine.
True.
You'd think that the anesthetic that, like, if they're going to spray that stuff on, you'd think it would work.
Yeah, like a Star Trek future where just you wave friggin' wand over something and you're miraculously better.
Yeah. And your baby's graduating from high school.
Oh, that reminds me of the Rick and Morty episode where Morty has that child that grows up and it's a monster, and then it writes an autobiography about how bad a parent Morty was.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want Prometheus to have gone that way, but
I'm sure someone will do a hilarious How It Should Have Ended.
That's still going, that How It Should Have Ended YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I was amazed to learn that. I guess it's one of those things where you have a fairly predictable formula that people find comforting, and they just sort of come back over and over again. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, because I'll come in, because I see a lot of movies, and I'll go somewhere and I'll say, oh, I saw this amazing thing that 1,000 talented artists worked on for 3 years. And they go, oh, yeah? Well, you should see what this white guy who's full of sass said about that film on the internet.
Hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, not interested. And I appreciate the irony of me being a white guy full of sass talking about a movie right now. But I promise you that I appreciate all the artistry and craft that's gone into this film, and I am not going to have the temerity to suggest to Lord Ridley Scott how this should have ended.
Yeah, that's what I've always appreciated about your review style and just how you respond to films, because there's been many times where I just say, oh, that movie was totally crap. What do you see in it? I can't see any value. And then you go, well, okay, yeah, this didn't work and this didn't work, but this is where they were coming from, and I think these elements work, and so on. And I think Prometheus, well, I mean, I was already on board with it, but that was definitely one where everyone on the internet was so vocal about it, and you just went, well, there's a lot about it that works, too.
And everyone wants to look smart, but I think it's not smart to cheat yourself out of a good time. Like, I just saw the new Terminator movie.
Mm.
And, you know, I haven't enjoyed the last ones. They just all washed over me. But I really enjoyed this one. I had a great time. I thought it was really cool.
Nice.
And then people are like, oh, yeah, but you know that. And it's like, don't care, because it did exactly what I needed it to do for me.
Who directed that?
It was Tim Miller, is it? The Deadpool guy.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Because I was not interested at all. I went, ugh, I haven't cared about Terminator since Terminator 2, but...
Well, it's a direct sequel to Terminator 2, and it forgets all the rest, and it feels like a sequel to Terminator 2. It's a very... I think it's an interesting one to talk about in relation to what we're watching now, because it's a very female-centric movie. It's really about three very strong female leads who aren't all girl-powering it up together. They, insult each other all through the movie, which is fantastic. Schwarzenegger turns up and they've got that sort of attitude of, look, we don't really like you. We don't like the things you've done in the past. You're a pretty bad dude. You can hang out with us, but just make sure you try to kill yourself in a way that's helpful to us at some point. And I like that. But it's some, you know, fart, gets into the action quickly, got some really great scenes, and it's so unabashedly committing to these strong female characters that they even have a fight in front of a wall of Tampax at one point, which I thought was just fabulous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every time a woman stars in something, especially if it was a franchise from a billion years ago that people loved when they were a kid and are now crotchety men, people complain, but it's like everyone's just getting on board, all the directors and stuff, and saying, well, you know, fuck you. Like, you can't escape it. It's going to keep happening. So you either don't watch movies anymore, or you spend the rest of your life like typing the same parroted bullshit, or shove some popcorn in your fat gob and just enjoy yourself. Have some fun in the air conditioning for 2 hours.
I think we're living in a pretty great time in terms of movies and TV shows and stuff that, you know, you've got all the Marvel streaming shows coming along, and we're doing all these remakes and sequels and revisiting franchises that are decades old. It's just, yeah.
I'm going to watch Mandalorian tonight. It's,
yes.
It's pretty amazing. So, so I appreciated seeing, because just like we were saying in previous episodes, this was a chance to see the threads that Ridley Scott thought were interesting about the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
And for me, that Terminator is about seeing those threads that James Cameron found interesting. Because he's produced it, he's worked on the story, and this is the Terminator sequel he wanted. And I fucking love the fact that, because nerds have wrung their hands about continuity forever, and I really love the idea now that you can just make a sequel that is a sequel to any of the movies.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't like Star Trek Discovery, but I think that is kind of cool. We just slot this story wherever you want. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because it's not real. That's the secret. It's all make believe. But is it canon? Well, yeah. I mean, it's in your imagination. So whatever you want, bud.
Yeah, it's basically fan fiction now. Where's the line between real production and fan fiction?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's so thin at the moment that when someone like Ridley Scott comes back to have a look at this, yeah, it's worth not just dismissing. And it's fun as well, just the fact that you've got people that grew up on all these films as well that are also now making films. I could make, in 30 years, I could make a sequel to Alien Covenant. I could ignore...
Not if I get there first. Oh, yeah, going back to what we were saying before about just the line between fan fiction and canon. I think that's actually going back to a very traditional way of storytelling, where we would tell these myths and legends of these recurring characters over and over again. And they're sort of iconic. Like, at this point, you know, Spock and Superman and all these characters are as iconic as Hercules and Thor. And I kind of like that, that these characters belong to the world now, almost.
But I think the other thing people have to appreciate is the fluidity of it and the fact that none of these things arrived fully formed, and they will have a lot of different iterations. And good or bad, successful or not, whether you think that's your canon version, all the bits that kind of stick continue on, and all the bits that don't work sort of get shed. So it's a very effective organism.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you look at Superman and the fact that, isn't it that like Jimmy Olsen and the Daily Planet and a lot of that stuff gets added in the radio serial? And yet, and then that gets incorporated in because, oh, that works. We're sort of responding to that. So I don't think anything is just completely an abject failure. I think that all the good bits and good ideas sort of get cherry-picked out and get explored, because you might not like a movie now, but in 20 years, whoever's helming that franchise might go, you know, I always wondered this question about this thing, that this seed that was planted in that other movie, and I'm going to explore that. So I think that's exciting. I don't think that's something that we should get pent up about or worried about.
Yeah, it is. So yes, returning to the minute, the fetus comes out and it's still in the amniotic sac. Shaw looks at it for a moment. It's silent and still, just sort of waiting for anything to happen. And yes, sure enough, it bursts open and there's just fluid everywhere. And then
I go into more detail on that, just in the sense that it's totally like when you see her absolutely drenched in sweat now.
Yeah.
And lots of shots of her upper body, head arched back, grimacing. If you were looking at this without seeing what was happening to her lower half, you would assume she was giving birth. It doesn't look like someone getting stomach surgery. Like, it's a totally shot using all the kind of techniques that we see with birthing scenes.
Yeah, it's very much that sort of low angle.
And when the baby, you know how you're saying she's sort of staring at it, when it pops up and it's still in the sack, I mean, that's that classic moment, isn't it? That you have all this sound and fury and energy and everything, and then suddenly there's that moment of peace and relief and looking at this baby that's suddenly appeared.
Yeah.
And he holds it for that beat while we just look at it and go, oh, it's almost a mother and child moment. Look at this.
Yeah, thing. That beat is just, that's what fascinates me about filmmaking, is that you can have, you know, so much going on, and then just this 1 second, there's so much in it, because you just, she's relieved. She's like, oh God, it's over. Okay, now what is this thing? What do we do with this? What is it going to do? And, oh yeah, then it just explodes and writhes around everywhere.
It just goes, fuck you, and explodes and covers her in goo.
Fuck you, Mom.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Every kid.
Zero to teenager.
The worst part to me is when she pulls the umbilical cord. I don't know why, but that's... Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That's totally tough. Because she doesn't, like, break it. She rips the end out of her body.
Yeah, actually, I have to look at that. Look at it more slowly. Because I don't... The placenta doesn't... No. So she actually separates placenta from the umbilical cord. Ugh.
I thought she'd start pulling out her intestines like a magician with scarves.
I mean, while you're there.
Yeah.
You only get one chance at that. I feel like the way she was impregnated, it is very much a more literal rape than a face hugger, or at least I feel that way, because it's, you know, it's actually inside the womb. And I think it's even more of a violation. Like, it's not just a parasite, but it's mimicking the way your own offspring are supposed to develop. Like, it's this real, especially in her case, she's infertile, she wants children. It's this, as I said in a previous minute, it's almost Faustian manifestation of that dream of, well, you want to be able to give birth. Here you go.
We just say, to be fair to Mr. Facehugger, though, that more than just a parasite, he's got like a giant vagina face. He clamps onto you and then sticks a big dick down your throat.
Mm.
So, yeah, and while strangling you. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty rapey.
Yeah. I mean, they're both pretty bad, but yeah, it's interesting how... And I'd like to know how other people respond to it. Just which one feels worse? If it's something implanted in your chest or if it's actually in the womb itself. What's worse to you personally? I guess horror is a very personal thing.
Please participate in this horrific would you rather scenario.
Yes! Chest cavity or womb?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a womb...
Your butthole, I guess? Your dick hole.
Your dick hole, yeah. I don't know how that would have worked, but life finds a way.
Would you like H.R. Giger's original xenomorph to crawl into your dick hole? Is this what the show's normally like?
Gross, yeah. Yeah, whenever there's a guest on. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's on you, bud.
Yeah, I know. I know, I'm trying to be better. It's Prometheus, come on, it's biological horror, I'm allowed. So, another thing I've noticed amongst critics and fans is they will propose, this is kind of tying with the whole fanfiction thing, is not just criticizing it, but kind of writing their own version, saying this would have been the superior version. And there was one example that has stuck with me, which I linked to on my Facebook page, my Prometheus Facebook page, ages ago. And this guy, he was saying, a lot of it was pretty bullshit, but the one interesting idea he suggested was, well, what if she gave birth to a normal human baby, or at least it looked like a normal human baby? And I thought, yeah, that would be pretty fucked up.
Yeah, but again, I talked about this last time. You're not solving a problem there, bud, unless you got, like, the next hour of the movie written out as to how that then, because you've made one different choice and then... Butterfly flaps its wings, and now you've got a completely different story to write.
Yeah, in minute 81, I read out a bit of the original script, the engineer's one, and in that, Holloway dies during the lovemaking scene instead of later on, so he doesn't get a chance to impregnate Shaw. As a result, Shaw ends up catching up with David in the juggernaut, and then he puts a facehugger on her, so there's... It's interesting how both scripts, or all three scripts, are all roughly the same up until that point. And yeah, butterfly effect, you change one thing and suddenly you're on a whole different path.
Yeah. The other issue I have with what if she gave birth to a normal baby is I've seen a lot of movies where people are giving birth to normal babies. Also, we are all the product of being born as a normal baby. I haven't seen the big tentacle monster come out of someone's gut before, so...
What if it was both? What if it was, like, a human baby on one end and then it had tentacle legs?
Yeah, so basically Simpsons Treehouse of Horror is what he's looking for.
Yes.
Okay.
We know better than Ridley Scott and dozens of scriptwriters and editors and producers.
So, wouldn't it be better, instead of something we've never seen before, something we've seen... a billion times before.
Yeah. And then what, the sequel's like Rosemary's Baby, where you're just waiting for it to become all creepy and demonic and shit. Yeah.
Well, good luck with that guy and his blog.
Do we have any more notes on this minute?
No, I've got stuff I want to say. I want to say it in the next one, I think. I think it's more of a summary thing.
Our conclusions. Well, my last thing was that you have quite an action figure collection.
I do.
And I know you're interested in Hot Toys, and they were gonna do a Prometheus line. And it's quite a shame they never did it.
Yeah, which is market forces in play. Supply, demand, not enough interest, I guess. And that's happened to a few things where, you know, they were going to do Valerian figures, but the...
Right.
But then there's the people complain and we don't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things. Yeah, I mean, both performed okay. And I think they also... Hot Toys did do Tron Legacy briefly. And again, just one of those things that didn't do as well. It's kind of sad, really, because these are things I love.
But yeah, but think of it from their perspective, and anyone in these sorts of fields, if you're going to spend all that time handcrafting these figures, every single time you share them on social media or Facebook or whatever for pre-orders, you're going to get all those guys that are convinced that it's their duty to add to the comments and go, oh, this was a really shitty film. I hated the film. Even someone's going to go, they'll even backhand a compliment. They'll go, oh, you know, actually, this figure looks pretty cool. I like it. The costume looks cool. Shame the movie was a piece of shit.
Oh, and yeah.
You would get that. Like, everyone would do that. I would be, as much as I was passionate about something, it's hard not to just go, I'm going to wash my hands of this, man. Like, it's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, and NECA is definitely a company that is quite receptive to whatever the fans are saying. And so they just went, ugh, Alien prequels are shit, so we won't make anything for those movies. I think they'll do, like, the Xenomorph and the Neomorph and all of that, but they're not interested in doing any of the human characters. It's just...
No, and it's like every time I see that someone's going, oh, we've got the Ghostbusters license, we're going to do these 6-inch figures of this, and I go, oh, cool, thinking, finally, can I get a Holtzman? It's just those same four dudes again and again and again and again and again, and it's like, and it's the same thing. Everyone would pile on and complain in the comments, and it's like...
I would get a Holtzman. I'm not even the biggest fan of Ghostbusters, the 2016 one, but fuck yeah, Holtzman.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Fuck them all.
To this day, I don't think we have a Fassbender or a Charlize hot toy. They've never...
No, they were going to do X-Men 2. That fell through, but I think that was licensing. I don't think that was because First Class had done so well.
Love that movie so much, and geez, wow, that franchise. What happened?
Oh, yeah, There's got to be a story there.
Oh, I would love a documentary of the making of all of those X-Men movies post First Class.
Yeah.
I think we're about ready to wrap up. So, yes, we'll tell everybody again, because I know some people listen out of order. Where can we find you?
Don't listen out of order, you idiots. That's the fundamental premise of this thing.
I know. I guess going back and listening to specific scenes, it must be...
Oh, yeah. Let's say that. Let's give them the benefit. Let's give these dum-dums the benefit of the doubt.
No! That's my listenership.
Yeah, you didn't say it. I said it. That's fine. So if you'd like to hear me call other groups of listeners dum-dums, you can go to fruitlesspursuits.com, where you'll find links to my movie review podcast, FPcast, and you'll find links to Dungeons and Drongos, my live play episodic D&D Fantasy Australia podcast that is awesome.
It's pretty good. That about covers it. This is Coulson signing off. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.